Testing.
Go ahead, Jana.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning again.
Why are you?
We want to give you a little introduction. So since it's our first time here, so I'm Jana, and I was raised in Stoughton, Wisconsin, not too far away, and that made me think of two more languages. Yeah, sure, you betcha. Ufta, and then another one, Manga Tusentak. So that's the real one. Manga Tusentak is Norwegian, right? For thank you very many thousand thanks. And sorry?
Velkommen.
And velkommen, yes, velkommen, thank you. Welcome in Norwegian. And the other one is kind of Wisconsinite or Stoughtonite. I don't know what you call ufta, yash, or yabetcha. But Sophia was in a VBS recently, and she was singing Pharaoh, Pharaoh. And when they after the oh baby, they said ufta, yash, or yabetcha. I said, I know we're in Wisconsin now. So I grew up, I grew up going to Timberlee, which is not too far from here. And my grandma paid for me to go there. I wasn't raised in a Christian home, but that was very formative for my life. And so if anyone's been to Timberlee, let's talk afterwards. I did work there one summer too. So after Wisconsin, then I went to school in Iowa at Decorah at Luther College. And then I got a call to go to Japan with the Covenant Church. So that was my first mission at 21. And I didn't speak Japanese, and I had never eaten Japanese food, but I went to Japan to teach English. Meanwhile...
Great, excellent. And good morning again. And as you see, English is not my first language. There are a few languages here running this software. And I speak all the languages with accent, including my mother language, by the way. And if you don't understand my accent, let's blame the Canadians, because I learned English in Canada. So... But my background is Italian. When I say Italian, it's because I grew up definitely in a very Italian-Portuguese family. So Italian and Portuguese backgrounds. My first language is Portuguese, and I was born in Brazil. So my major is in marketing, business, human resources, and I went to Canada in 2000. And then to Spain, I'm also a Spanish citizen, 2004. And actually 4 or 5 in Canada again, and 5 in Spain, when I met my first Covenant connection, Nancy and Jerry Reed, before I met Jana. And when I was in Spain, I met Jana in Belgium. So this is not the end. What were you doing in Belgium, Jana, by the way?
So after Japan, then I was at Riverside Bible Camp in Story City, Iowa. So another little Norwegian town. And then I got a call to go to seminary. That's where I met Sharon and Chris, was in Chicago in North Park. And then from there, I got a call to go to Belgium to work with Congolese people at a Congolese church, you know, from Kinshasa, Belgian Congo, but in Belgium. And
all
that's
right.
When I met the Brazilians.
We decided to get married in Chicago, by the way. And then we moved to Florida, where Sophia was born.
When we
came from our honeymoon in San Francisco, the first week, Jana came to me and said, let's go to Japan. I said, are you kidding me? I just came to marry you in the United States. Let's go to Japan. Anyways, so after 20 years being bivocational, pastor and business, I quit my job, JP Morgan Chase and Citibank, and we went to Japan with the Evangelical Covenant Church. And then Julia was born in Yokohama. And right now, we have been friends for 40 years.
Yes. And we give you that intro, so now you're going to understand better what Fabio's going to tell you about what we do in France and why we do it like we do it.
All right. Let's go to the next slide. Before Jana just goes ahead and preaches this morning, I want to read our mission statement. And you understand what we are doing in France, because France is the fourth most atheist country of the world. If you go to any list, you're gonna see China, Japan, Czech Republic, France, and a few more countries, but always you're gonna see France in the list. And it is a post-Christian context, continent, and country. So that's why our mission is to live out and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. The good news, Jesus still has the good news. Jesus still is a fascinating personality. We teach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the spirituality of Jesus Christ that we find in the narratives, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, as cultural bridge builders to, number one, those who may not otherwise experience Jesus. Number two, those who have a false and negative view of Jesus. And number three, especially, those who may need help separating a relationship with Christ from religiosity. This is what we do daily through friendship, being vulnerable, real, organically showing people how you treat your wife and vice versa, how you raise your kids, how you are as disciple of Jesus. Next slide, please. How do we do it? So, Fabio, how do you connect to people in a post-Christian context? Number one, if you have you heard, by the way, about meetup groups or meetup? So if you go online right now and you Google meetup, wherever you are, Barcelona, Chicago, or São Paulo, or Lyon, you're gonna find something that you like to do, a group of people just to follow and do it. Soccer, Spanish, hiking, anything from scratch, Johnny and I, we have developed two meetup groups. So we have today basically almost 20 activities. And when you send out these notifications, emails, and invitations, they go out to 6,000 people in Lyon, and we work with six languages: Portuguese, Spanish, Italian, French, English, fluently Japanese for communication, and we do and develop some activities in Japanese. So I'm gonna show a list of these events. It's just to connect to people, to meet people, to serve our community in Lyon, to be salt, to salt Lyon, the city, to be outside of the... There you go, my teacher. Salt shaker. This is a salt shaker. Go ahead and be salt. So we have church partners. Yes, of course. We have English and French speaking churches. Listen, after 4 years, now French and English speaking churches are inviting us to train their congregations to do outreach ministry. Because sometimes churches do not know how to talk to their neighbors. And it's what we are doing right now in France. Yes, I'm also a spiritual director. I have spiritual direction ministry locally, internationally. I do also Portuguese ministry locally, internationally. Jonah does also IDI and mentoring women with trauma locally, internationally today, using Zoom, Skype, etc. And lastly, because of VBI, so I want to also focus on the refugee ministry. Recently, we have been working among Ukrainians, especially. Next slide, please. And now you see all the list, all the events. We have three categories. Number one, language and culture exchange. And then you see examples in Italian and brunch, and then English in conversation, burgers and language. You have also board games, and you see those two, I think one is missing here. If you click to next, probably you're gonna see, no, go back, please. So that are supposed to be, okay, two meetups in the next slide, you're gonna see. It's basically 6,000 people in those groups. And then you have seminars and events, such as Café Philel. Philel from Greek, Philel philosophy, Philel love, fraternal love. We get together. It's almost a version of Alpha Course. If you are familiar with Alpha Course, we have developed Café Philel, where people come and discuss about science, psychology, faith, and then we have sports and outdoor activities. I run a walking tour in Lyon about church history. Yes, I speak about Second World War, I speak about La Cuisine Française, how you eat very well in France. However, church history in France is just amazing. So recently, The U.S. Embassy found my walking tour and they invited me to welcome 80 American diplomats. And they heard me for 2 hours speaking about how the Apostle John met Polycarp in Ephesus and sent the first 2 bishops in Lyon. And Irenaeus, depending on your pronunciation, he brought the book of John to Lyon, to France, when the canon didn't exist. And I could go on and on speaking about church history. I probably have spoken to over 500 people. They are Muslims, agnostics, atheists. This is basically our audience. How does this work, Fabio? So we call cross-pollination. What does that mean, Fabio? Yes, I'm going to give you a couple of examples before Jana preaches, otherwise I'm going to preach. So Praveen, this guy came to my walking tour. He heard me speaking about church history, etc. And then he went to English conversation with Jana, cross-pollination again. And then he came to my French conversation. I oversee 25 French volunteers who help immigrants and refugees to practice French. And then he came to our Café Philel. And then he went to, you see, cross-pollination. And then people get to know us better. We get to know them better. And then the burger event, there were probably 40 people. And 8 people started asking me very deep and personal questions. Here I am explaining about who I am, how I grew up, what I do, and deconstructing the false idea about Jesus and religiosity. When we finished our burger event, Praveen came to me because I, by the way, wrote a book, Upside Down Evangelism. I have a copy of books on the table in the coffee area. He said, Fabio, what you said about church, this is what I believe. It is. And I have an uncle. He's a Catholic priest, but you know, he's a nice guy. But I don't believe it is how he says church is. The following week, he found my book online. He bought my book. Came to the French conversation, said, could you please sign your book here? Say, wow, that's great. You bought it. Anyways, a few weeks before he came to California, he was in the Anglican Church. And he is actively participating of our Café Philel. This is the cross-pollination, how you explain, how we get to know people. And serve, and Jenny is going to preach about this meaning being the incarnational ministry or the ministry of presence. Last example, go to the pictures, please, next slide. Yes, yes, you have all the examples here. And you see faces, walking tour, sports, and how we are serving and loving our neighbor and our community through languages, because this is our skill set. Next slide, please, and we're gonna talk about refugees. Yes, to finish, Jana, get ready, you come to preach. So we have been serving the Ukrainians, and just happened organically. At 1 a.m., I was serving the refugees, giving coffee, tea, water, and I didn't know, but I met Gala. This lady at 1 a.m., she is the vice president of the main university in Ukraine. And I was helping her, and 2 days later, I found out. She came and said, I'm the vice president of the university in Ukraine. Wow. And she became our connector between what we do and all the Ukrainians in town. And this is basically what we did before we came to California. We opened our space. We have a cultural center run by 6 Protestant churches. And all the Ukrainians in town came as we served them. And you see Sophia, Julia playing with this little boy, and Sophia also serving. They came to speak Ukrainian, and they met each other. They didn't even know they came from the same villages in Ukraine, and they all were in Lyon. It's just an example of what we have been doing among the refugees Ukrainians. Jana, come, and you can explain a little more even.
Thank you.
What have you done? Thank you very much.
And don't worry, we always put him first and then I adjust. And so
good job.
He won't be here all day, although we probably could both talk all day about what God is doing in Lyon. So thank you for, you know, just listening. And we'll move now into some more of the theological base basis for why we do what we do. But you can see from what he's saying, we cast the net quite wide. We like a lot of different activities. We do, you know, a lot of sports, music, languages. These are the ways that we connect with people. But if you are a person who's much more kind of one thing is your thing, well, we connect people to those kinds of ministries as well. So we just encourage each of you today to think about what are your gifts and how are you using them and what's your mission? Because make your life your mission, and your mission, your life, is one of our taglines. We just believe that God gives us all our idiosyncrasies and, you know, who personalities to use for God's glory. And so that's my challenge to you, even as we start today, to think of what the theological basis for what we're doing is. So maybe we could go to the next slide. So planting seeds of the kingdom of God in your neighborhood. And I also have another one. How do you love your neighbor if you don't even know them? Right? So we have two titles today. Let's go to the next one. So we already heard the foundational texts. We have that Galatians 5, 13 through 18, 22 through 26. That's the one, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And they used forbearance for kindness there, but you get the gist of it. These are universal principles, universal things. And what we try to do is create places where people can learn these gifts of the Spirit and experience them. So it's kind of like planting the seeds of the kingdom of God wherever we go and hoping and trusting that God is already there working. God has already gone before us. That's covenant theology. That's covenant, you know, evangelical covenant thought. We're not bringing Jesus in our pocket and saying, you know, we've got Jesus, here you go. Jesus is already there working. This is like post-colonial missions, you know. We learn from the past. Amazing mission work has been done around the world for 100 years plus. I mean, since Jesus. But I mean, when we think of Western mission, good things were done, but also really awful things were done in the name of Jesus. And so part of our training is to say, okay, how are we not going to do those things? And one of the ways is to realize God is already working. God is already working in Elkhorn, Wisconsin, going before each of you, and Jesus is actively loving the people around you, and we get to join in. So the other text is love your neighbor as yourself. We know this is one of the main on which all foundational texts are built. You know, this is the foundation. Love your neighbor as yourself, and love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So I love that one because how do we love our neighbor is our topic today. So let's see the next one. There is a statistic. In 2013, there was a study done around the world, and it wasn't asking how many non-Christians do you know. It was actually asking the opposite. How many people around you in your circles don't know someone who calls themselves a believer or a follower of Jesus Christ? And when they did this in 2013, so almost 10 years ago, they found out that globally around the world, about 8 in 10 people don't know someone who calls themselves a Jesus follower. 80%, or 4 out of 5. That's globally, and that's definitely true of France, which is predominantly Catholic, but falls down as like the fourth atheist nation in the world. So, but in the U.S. at that point, it was more like, let me get the statistics right, it was the flip. So 8 out of 10 did know a believer, and about 2 out of 10, or 1 in 5, didn't know a believer. So I'm imagining that might have increased by now in 10 years, because the U.S. has changed. So just think about your circles, and think about your barber, your neighbor, your actual neighbor. You know, there's even a whole sermon on who's your neighbor? Your actual neighbor actually fits into that. You know, do we know our neighbors? Do we know when we see people mowing their lawn, do we know their names? Do we know what they love to do and how they like to spend their time? So we want you to think really practically like that too. So anyway, so we think about this and who, your barber, your doctor, your nurse, you know, all your world, who might not know someone that follows Christ. And that has been increasing over the years. So this study is in Christianity Today from 2013. Can we see the next one? Key concepts we put into practice in France. So I just want to share these today and leave you with four concepts that you also are already doing, and also you can think about maybe how you as a church can do this more. So the first one is just living out the incarnation, or sometimes it's called incarnational ministry. There are different ways to think of this, but I like the Matthew 1:23 that's often only quoted at Christmas. And then she will bear a son, and his name will be Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. I think that's a really powerful concept. So many of us are scared of words like evangelism. Even discipleship can be a scary term if we're not used to it. But God goes with us. God is always with us. And when I think of incarnational ministry, one thing I think of is contextualizing it. So, you know, who am I talking to right now? What's their background? Have they been hurt by someone who calls themselves a Christian? Have they seen hypocrisy? You know, we come to each conversation already trying to say, okay, Lord, show me maybe some of this person's background. What's the context? And then the incarnational piece has usually two pieces for me. One, Jesus lives in me. My body is a temple of the living God. Pretty miraculous, and not like I get it every day. I mean, way beyond my understanding, but this is what I believe in. This is what the Bible teaches us. So there's nothing, if the resurrection is true, which we believe it is, there's nothing beyond this person's situation. There's nothing that is unredeemable. So whatever this person has gone through, I'm coming with that knowledge that Jesus was resurrected and lives today. And so that's another piece of what I call incarnational ministry. So the contextual piece, and then knowing the if the incarnation is real, and if redemption is real, then when I come to this person, there's nothing that's too big for them, and there's nothing too big for God in their life. So I also like to quote Isaiah 7:14, because that's when they're giving prophecy to this phrase, Emmanuel, God is with us. And then that's 700 years before Christ, and that was about 2,000-ish years ago that Christ was born. So we have over 2,700 years to kind of hold this amazing concept that God is with us. Next one. Second one, which goes right along with this, is the ministry of presence. How many of you know what our seminary professor taught us, that 80% of ministry is just showing up? The ministry of presence, you've heard that, you've experienced that, right? It's amazing. We don't have to put all these burdens on ourselves and make it so hard and say the right thing. God is with us, going before us, and the comfort that we've received, we can use that. So our whole story matters. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. I've loved this verse for a long time. It's got comfort, I think, around 5 times. And you know, for many years, I thought that bad things I experienced in my life, I had to kind of try to cut them off and be a new person. But then I've realized with healing and counseling that those things can be integrated and redeemed. So when I'm coming to this person, I have all of who I am. And at the right time and the right situation, I might share something difficult that happened in my past. That's part of the ministry of presence. I might just listen. I might just sit there and listen to someone. You know, in grief, there's not always anything I can say, but I can sit there and be with them. I might share positive things, like when God overcame something huge in my life. But it all just depends, and I just try to pray and see what the Holy Spirit might lead. Do I get it right every time? No, but I trust that God is going before me and that God is working in my life and my story. And when I show up, I get to bring the whole story, all of who I am, and that's the ministry of presence. So these two concepts, even just saying them today, and I've already said them many times, are pretty powerful. And like I said, I don't understand how this works, but I've experienced it. Third. I love this one. This one's a little bit easier for me to grasp. Belonging before believing. So some people come to Christ first through belief, and then they go to a church or they find a community and they start to feel that belonging feeling. But we're finding statistically more and more today, especially with young people, kind of 18 to 29, there's a woman in the covenant. Her name is Beth Severson. She's a pastor and a professor. She wrote a book, Not Done Yet, and she specifically studied the 18 through 29-year-olds and said, what is keeping them in church? Because so many churches don't have that age group. And she found that if you get people serving and you get people just living, planting those seeds of the kingdom together, loving their neighbors together, even before you say, you know, what do you believe, that as they belong, they become more open to believing in God. And so we call it belonging before believing. So all of our groups are meant to create a space where people can belong and see the fruit of the Spirit, like we read earlier, and learn how to love their neighbors in a safe space, but also in a place where there are some believers. Like I'd probably, out of our members that we see every month, I think 1 to 2% would say they're Jesus followers. And so, you know, these are people that never meet Christians, and they're rubbing shoulders with people that say they follow God. And so, they get a chance to belong before they believe. We have a cafe on Tuesdays. Every Tuesday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., we just borrow this space that looks like a cafe, but it's used for lots of different things. And we just borrow it on Tuesdays and open it up. We put a sign out on the front, say, come on in, and speak these different languages. And we try to give a space where they can belong before they believe, and just a place to be who they are. They can bring their computers and work. There's free Wi-Fi and things like that. And Fabio loves to do the barista thing and make coffee. And so if you're ever in Lyon, France, come to our cafe or come to one of our groups, get a history tour with Fabio. We'd love to show you what's happening. So maybe you can think of ways that this happens in your community, but it's often outside the church, you know? A knitting club can be this. A book club can be this. Where you're providing food for a homeless shelter or for a food pantry, this can be this. But sometimes it means for Christians, zip the lip and do the action first and let them belong before they believe. And I love also adding, find out what people love. You know, what does your neighbor love? Okay, well, let's say it's the car show Fabio went to a car show in Whitehall, Michigan on this trip. He's Brazilian. He didn't grow up going to car shows, but the people that were hosting him had a really cool like car from the 1940s that he got to ride in and go in a parade. And this is not something that he's like dreamt about his whole life. He's just not, Julie is into cars a little bit more than Fabio, but his dad loves cars. And this was a way for him to love his host home and to just try something new. And by doing that, he's helping that person feel loved and cared for and belonging. So, and he also was feeling like he belonged, even though, you know, that wasn't his first choice, but he learned to love it. So just open our eyes a little bit, right? See what God might have for us. Next. This is the most important thing, because I think sometimes mission in the past has gotten a little codependent. Like, we think that we need to say the right thing, we need to do apologetics, we need to convince someone intellectually, we need to convince someone emotionally, we have to do all the work. No. We know the verse, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. What's happening in Lyon, France is not our doing. We're just doing what we do best and just, you know, trying to fill in, create a space, but God makes it grow. And for any person that puts their faith in Jesus, that's a God thing. I can't manufacture that. So I think this, after I shared those other three concepts, this one is the most important for all of us to just, you know, we all have family members that aren't walking with God right now, but it's the Holy Spirit that's going to change them. So how can we partner with the Holy Spirit? How can we not get in the way, you know, talk, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus? That's wonderful and beautiful, and it might be coming from the right place, but it also might need a lot more foundation, a lot more action behind it, because people are tired of talking, especially in 2022. It just doesn't, the Billy Graham revivals that our parents, that my parents went to and that we love are amazing. They did great work and they're still relevant today and they still work in Africa and South America very well. But we also have to, you know, go with the context and see what do our neighbors really need right now. And, you know, maybe it's something different. Maybe it's that, but maybe not. So, okay, next, if there's, yeah, conclusion. So, the fruit of the Spirit, God's already given us all these. Peace, love, joy, patience, you know all those. And also, love your neighbor as yourself. So, we talk about self-care, you know, taking care of ourselves while loving our neighbor. What would we do? What do we do to take care of ourselves? Well, love your neighbor that much or more, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. And hopefully I've given some tools today. So this is a topical sermon. We don't go really deep, but we follow the theme of loving your neighbor throughout the Old and New Testament. God is with us, going before us. There's nothing that the resurrection can't solve or help in this person's life. God goes before and comforts them. I can take all of who I am and I can create a space with God, belonging before believing. And after all is said and done, when I go to bed at night, you know, I say, okay, the work is done, and I lay on my pillow, okay, it's the Holy Spirit that can do this. It's not me. Not my will, but yours be done. And I think that might be it. Is there one more? Oh, here we go. How are you practicing these principles around you? Remembering Christ lives in you, sharing your comforts and joys, and I even put some French in there. God is with you. Dieu est avec toi. Dieu t'aime quoi qu'il arrive. He loves you no matter what. Dieu est responsable, Dieu est plus fort que tout, Dieu nous surprise. These are actually from a VBS, so I just left them in there because it's fun to hear the French. God is in charge, God is stronger than anything, and God surprises us. Let's be surprised. The element of surprise is a holy thing. Let God surprise you in Millard Community Church. Let God surprise you in Elkhorn and the neighboring Whitewater and the neighboring cities. Let's pray. God, we just showered these people with so much information today. Thank you that you can sort it out. Thank you that you know what each person needs to hear, including us. Thank you that you know each person's story here. You know the pain they've experienced. You know the joys they've experienced. You know where they're at with their walk in you. And doubt is not the opposite of faith. Thank you, God. Thank you that the Israelites doubted too, and that we have the right to ask you questions, all the difficult questions as we walk with you. Thank you that you go with us. You go before us. You go in us. You go behind us, above us. Christ, you are with us. You are Emmanuel. And thank you that we can bring our whole story. Let each person be more and more integrated in wholeness and healing today. Thank you that you help us feel like we belong sometimes, even before we believe. Put the people on our hearts today in our neighborhood and in our families who need that sense of belonging. They're feeling lost, maybe they're feeling hurt, and help us to come to them and just walk alongside them, not speaking too much, but also not being quiet at the right moment. Lead us, Lord. And thank you that at the end of the day, it's only by your Spirit and by your power that we are all changed for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.